Hi everyone, welcome back to Heavenland Devotions, or else otherwise known as The Little Green Pasture. There's a story behind that, but that's for another time. You know, lately I've been so finding myself just deepening, the Holy Spirit taking me into deeper things. And I've been so much more sensitive about words spoken, things I'm seeing, things I'm hearing. And I believe that is what Jesus wants, is that he wants us to see things through his eyes and to hear things through his ears. And to be impressed upon in our hearts and all by the Holy Spirit. You know, I think of those words, taste and see that the Lord is good. And some of us taste and we go away and we only come back to taste again when we need him for something. But there's those that taste and then they see. You have to taste of the things that are heavenly. Jesus tasted death for every man, that we would taste and see that he's good. Those are just some of my musings to begin with. So I welcome you, and I am really glad that you're here, and I pray that today that you will partake of living waters, because what is in me right now, I feel, is absolutely from the Lord. I notice that as I'm getting older in the Lord, things with him seem to become more natural that I struggled at. Trying to find a particular verse, looking for a breeze from heaven to inspire me. But there's such a joy in letting go. I have found a freedom that I feel like, in a way, I've just entered into. And I feel like it's almost a taste of heaven. And what I've been receiving from the Lord in my heart is the absolute surrender and letting go and letting him move. And you know, I'm speaking about myself here. But this is just as much for you as for me. After all, we do have to hear things from those, from other people, to see what Jesus is doing in them. And it catches our eye like a flash of light. Like Amy Carmichael said, when she walked along the sands of the seashore, she said every now and then she'd see a little glint of light and she would look over and realize that it was from a little tiny piece of sand that was catching the light of the sun. And she said, that is the way. That is the way she saw things that Jesus was showing her. I love those quiet times. And I pray more quiet times come for all of us. And that we will make time to be quiet with him. And to catch the sound of rain, like Elijah did. I was very moved this morning by the Holy Spirit, and I feel moved in my heart. And that is such a test. It's a litmus test. It's an acid test, if you will, of what do you want me to say, Lord? Nevertheless, not my will, but thine instead. And my day began very early in the morning, as usual. But what I mean is there was two different people I was speaking with this morning, and both situations so moved me in my heart, but it went further than my heart. It's like looking at the cross, but looking beyond the cross into heaven. Like it just doesn't end at the cross. The cross is our door, and Jesus Christ is waiting for us to enter in more fully. And I'm going to pray right now before I go any further. Then I'm going to let the Lord open up his word in me to you. So, dearest Lord Jesus, I come to you. And I tell you, I love you, Lord. And I bow before you. And it is unto you, the Lord, that I cleave. For I am weak, Lord. And I pray that your power rest upon me, that they will hear your sound, that you would lead me. That you would touch the hearts of those, Lord Jesus, that are crying out to you in this noisy world and feel unheard. I place this message now into your hands. And where thou goest, will I go. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. I was talking to a couple of people today that have been, one was in a long journey of her life from childhood. And she told me all the different things that have happened to her in her life. And after all these decades, she's still following the Lord and her faith has been deepening, but it's been a long road for her. And a couple of other of my friends who are, I'll put it this way, they're experiencing some sadness and long-term heartache. But they are absolutely, just like the other woman, lovers of Christ. And in that struggle, in those cries, and what seems like the impossible to us, that can, and those things that have been long term and so in the realm of the impossible, they can paralyze us. They can, I mean, we make these plans, you know, there's things that I've prayed through, things that you're maybe facing right now, things that you're like, I am powerless. I can't change that. I can't unlock that door for them. I can't heal what's happening with my loved one. I can't do anything. And yet the faith is intact. But there is the human experience of exhaustion and sorrow. And it's even worse right now because of the holiday season. This is definitely not a happy time for, I would say, most people. It brings out the absolute worst in people. And for those that are on these long journey struggles that feel like everything is a war, everything is uphill, everything is a battle, I'm fighting multiple fronts at the same time on every side. And yet, and even as they're breaking down, they're still confessing. They're still confessing. No matter what, I'm going to follow on to trust the Lord. No matter what. You know, you do get to a point where you've been in it so long, you're like, what am I going to do? Turn around now? Where else am I going to go? Who else has the words of eternal life? And there's something that it begins to happen when you start praying for the impossible in the lives of people. You are attacked by the enemy saying, God's never ever healed anybody from that, not in this time of this world, in this generation. You have all these different voices that are seen and unseen. Everything is challenging you. And then there is that feeling of being like Paul the Apostle in Acts chapter 20, 7 when he was on that ship, that prisoner ship, and he said, 2 weeks we were, there was no sun, neither was there any moon. And we wished for the day. And you know, I just feel so much that Jesus wants me. And I know that this is the scriptures that he led me to, and I'm going to read them to you, and I'm going to share something. Because you see, many of us have been in situations where we feel completely unheard by God. We feel like, where is he? Like, I've been crying out to God forever. And I don't doubt that he is God. I don't doubt that he is the Lord. I don't doubt any of those things. But there is that reality of like, things are so impossible. It's going to take an act of God to do it. You know, God is God, the God of the extremes. He reveals himself in the extremes. Read your Bibles. You'll see that every time you saw a miracle, it was because there was an extreme. Or sometimes he created a miracle when people gave up. He did it anyway, because he's sovereign and he moves according to his own will. But he's so full of mercy, and the things he does are completely outside our ability to comprehend, because we have a picture of what God should do for us and how he should do it. I'm going to begin reading. It's in Mark. We're all familiar with the Gadarene demoniac, but I want to share something because I know people, as I just said, who feel like they're just never, either they or someone they love is never, ever going to be free or from a situation. Mark 5, 1 through 7, and they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because he had been bound often with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any tame him, neither can any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. I'm going to stop right there. There was a period of time in my life that I was reading this, and it was during a heavy battle, and something the Holy Spirit showed to me about this. And the one word that stuck out to me out of this entire account was one word, that he was crying. You see, what I have come to see in my own personal experience, in observation, and people closest to me, and stories that I've read, stories that I've heard, that there is a part of a person that is so far gone. It could be in sins of all kinds, because that's what people are trapped in, and that's what Satan traps people in, is their sins. And there's varying degrees of these chains. See, this man was bound often with chains and fetters, but he broke them, and no man was able to tame him. So there needs to be another man, the man Christ Jesus, that has to come along, that by the power of the Spirit of the living God would break the unseen chains. And I want to just pause right here to say that when Jesus was in his body, he said, all things that I do not do of myself, but only that which the Father has said to me or has shown me to do. So every time we see a miracle, whenever we see Jesus speaking and moving, it's because the Father in heaven is being touched by what is happening around his son. So when I saw this, the Holy Spirit brought it out to me. It says he was always night and day in the mountains and in the tombs crying. See, the Holy Spirit showed me that there is that part of that gathering self that was not controlled by the devil. He was able to cry. That crying shows that he was in such torment, that emotional part of him, that crying, Satan could not control. And we know that he was a long time like this, Mark says. And while Jesus was on this other side of the Sea of Galilee, when he told his disciples, "Come, let us go over into the other side," Satan knew Jesus was coming. Jesus wasn't afraid that there was a storm on the lake. We know that whole story. That's another story. But Satan tried to stop him. All the disciples thought they were going to die. But Jesus calmed that storm with a great calm. And so Jesus had not been on that part during his missionary journey. He had not been over there on that side. He'd not come yet to preach that gospel. And so when he got there, immediately he was met. Actually, there was two men, but we're going to focus on the one. And we hear this sad story about a man where he was in the worst, absolute worst condition that a human in depravity can be in. And I love God's extremes. You know why? Because God is showing us what he can do, that there's nothing that's too hard for him. So it says he was crying, and that right there showed me there is a part. It was shown to me that there is a part of every single person that no matter how much Satan has control of their life, and they don't even know how to cry out to God. But they're crying, and God hears the cry. I believe the Father in heaven heard that cry and sent Jesus just for that man. Though, yes, he spent time in that vicinity. You know, prayer really is the cry of the heart. I mean, really, we could pray about many things, and God accepts our prayers. But I'm talking about what seems that no man can do for you. That these invisible chains and fetters that are upon yourself, or they can even represent your circumstance. That you're in a circumstance that no man on earth, no power on earth, horizontally speaking, can help you. But you know what? There is a cry inside of you, just like his. It says he was cutting himself with stones. He was so tormented. He had no one that could pray for him. Back then, Jesus hadn't died on the cross yet. But I believe God, on purpose, our Father in heaven, chose this portion of scripture on purpose to show you and to show me and to show everybody through all the 2,000 years. And even the 1,000-year millennial reign that's coming, that he is willing to do that same thing for you. It says, but when he saw Jesus afar off, you know, this is his real self. So he's crying and he's cutting himself because he's so tormented. In a sense, he's trying to relieve himself by cutting himself in a demonic way. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshiped him. This is the real self. See, there was still a tiny part of him that recognized. See, I did some research in this. So this is not just me getting some kind of, you know, other idea about it. I wanted to see, what did the scholar say about it? Like, what was really happening here in this situation? Because most people take it as the demon, the legion that was inside of this man saw Jesus from afar off, and being in that man, that legion used that man's body to run to Jesus. But that's not what the best scholars say. They say this was him. It says he was crying and cutting himself with stones, but when he saw Jesus, so while he was crying, that's where you get the but. While he was crying, he saw Jesus. That's what it says. He saw him afar off, and he ran to worship him. Now, some take it as, well, you know, demons have to bow before Jesus. Yeah, they're terrified of him. They don't want to get near him. But in this case, it says he cried with a loud voice. And then, as the scholars put it, this, he says, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. I love how the scholars broke it down. They said, when he saw Jesus afar off and ran and worshiped him, as he went and cried with a loud voice, now he not only is crying in the mountain, in the tomb, but now he's crying with a loud voice. And as, and they put it as, what, when he was going to cry out to Jesus, that spirit rose up in him, legion, and used the force of his voice to say, what have I to do with thee, Jesus? And that's where people get confused. And I did too. I thought, you know, the enemy inside this man, he saw Jesus and he was afraid of Jesus. And he's, you know, because there's many times where evil spirits do come right up to Jesus Christ because they're terrified of him. As we see after he was tempted 40 days and 40 nights, as he went into the temple, Mark chapter 1. And there was a man that had an unclean spirit in him who came right up to him and said, what have we to do with thee? You know, and so that spirit immediately came to Jesus. But this was the man, and the spirit overtook him and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus? He knows how he had to claim to say, thou Son of God. I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. You know, that just spoke so much to me once again. And I am always going to always refer back to that story, because it's not just a historical moment of God's power being displayed in a man's life, a person's life, who had no family, did at one point, was in the ultimate mental, by today's standards, we'd say, oh, it's mental illness. And there is mental illness. But I think a lot of mental illness, not all of it, but I will say a lot of it is from the enemy. But do you know, when you cry, the same thing is happening in heaven. The Father hears your cry. Jesus hears your cry, and he's not indifferent to you. I remember reading this, listening to a story of a woman, and just one part of it, she was talking about how she had this son, and she had prayed forever for this son, and he was always in trouble, and he brought so much grief to his mother's heart. And she said that she had spent years and years and years praying for her son to be saved. And she would cry all the time. She was always sad every day. She was always crying. And one day, while she was praying for her son, she heard Jesus say to her, "You can either believe or you can grieve, but you can't do both. Choose one." That's how he put it. Choose one, but you can't do both. And she said she understood about what Jesus was asking her to do, to believe or to grieve. And she chose in that moment to believe and to stop grieving. She said, "I prayed 10 more years. And one day my son was born again." There's always going to be resistance. There's always going to be people and always voices saying to you, "It can't be done." But you know what? Believing is more than just some kind of a mental acquisition. It's something that God gets down deep inside. Like I was talking to somebody today, I said, "You've been praying all these years. You've been praying your heart out all these years." But you know what? Just like me, because I was explaining to her what happened in my life, I said, "I prayed all those decades. And that person never changed, but I changed. And at the end, he became born again after 22 years. But I was a different kind of Christian. I became a different kind of woman of faith, a servant of God. I learned how to fight. I learned how to stand. I learned what it meant to be human. I let myself be human. In fact, that's what God taught me to do. Did you know that? Some of you do. I've told you before. You see, we start off praying and believe it, and we have this initial power and strength of ourselves. But as the time wears on, we develop a weakness, and we realize we are changing in the prayer. And our soul is changed, our spirit man's gaining strength. Our outward man is perishing, and power is entering in. And there is a wrestling, and there is a fight, and there are joys, and there are rest stops along the way. But something happens, you begin to change. See, there are things God is doing that you cannot comprehend. You are not able to comprehend. You can't see what he's doing. And you know what? I'm glad that I was never able to see what God was doing, because you know why? I would have become a little God, and I would have gotten involved with him, and I would have started to take over, and I would have started to give God more ideas about what he should do to save so-and-so or this other circumstance. Because when you go into this kind of prayer for situations of people that you see, they will never get out. That it takes you down into places that you cannot even imagine, but he is going with you. See, there's never a time he's not with you. He is going with you. You know, I read a little story. It was about the streams of water from a mountain, by somebody unknown, and they were watching the stream coming down from a mountain, and they were at a location where they can see it start from the very top of this beautiful mountain, and it was coming down, and it was going around rocks, and it was going through rough places, and it was like just this image of like this rushing water, and it was making its way through harsh land, and everything was trying to block its way. But he said, then all of a sudden, the river disappeared behind another part of a mountain. And he's scanning his eyes like that. And he sees way down on the other side, as far as his eyes can see, he sees the river come out of that mount, out of that valley that he could not see for a long, a big, viewable part of what he was looking at. And then it was going into the sea. And he said, that is how I saw the life that God has given to us. We are filled with those living waters, and then we go down, and then we go through, and there's everything coming against us. But that power of the river of life of God is forcing through, going around rocks, and it's going through just every kind of rough land it can go to, and to the point where it is not even seen anymore, because the river is going lower and lower and lower. But when he said he saw that river come out and going into the sea, he saw our eternal life, that we go into a fathomless ocean that represented eternal life, our finishing ground, and never stop to think for a moment, not ever. Push everything out of your mind, out of your heart. You know, the Lord says, it says in Proverbs, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And in another place, it says, unto God belong the issues of death. You see, you have to make sure you keep everything to come, to not enter into your heart. It can come into your mind, but guard your heart with all diligence. Guard it that evil doesn't come into it, that you will not allow yourself to go any deeper into any discouragement that is coming upon you. That when people tell you, well, you've done all you can, even well-meaning people, push that out of your heart. Be determined, have a determination that Jesus Christ will do just what he said. Remember what the angel said to Mary Magdalene when she came to the tomb and she saw the angel who was sitting on the rock that was rolled away. And she said, he said, you're looking for Jesus, but he's not here. He is risen, just as he said. Never forget those words, because everything you read in your Bible, never forget to say to him, it is just as you said. And it is just as you say, because you see, it is written. Even Pontius Pilate, when he wrote the words over Jesus's tomb and above the cross, nailing it to the cross, this is the king of the Jews. And when they came to him and said, we don't want that written, that he is king of the Jews, but that he made himself king of the Jews, Pontius Pilate said, and I believe by the Holy Spirit, even though he was a lost man, he said, what I've written, I've written. And so when Jesus says that he will save and he will deliver, let him have his way. Let him do it. He will do it. He said he would. You're going to have patience, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be found. What's that word? Some of you know it. You're already saying it, right? That we may be found entire, something and entire, lacking nothing. You see, Jesus is never going to allow himself to be upstaged by Satan. And when you put your trust in the living God, in the name of Jesus Christ, the name which every knee shall bow of things in heaven and of things of the earth and in things under the earth, just as you see when Jesus was on earth, and demons would come running up to him that were infested in people, it's because they fear him. And greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Jesus wants you to stand upright. Jesus wants you to believe that he will do it. You see, believing isn't just like, yeah, I do believe this. Look, it's all part of it. The tears, the sorrow, the heartache, the sleepless nights, the being unable to pray, the sighing in his presence, having not even a prayer to pray. Sometimes he's going to have a planned, quiet time for you where he's going to not want you to pray. And you're going to be so used to praying, you're going to go, I think this is the enemy. But let me tell you something. when I was fighting for the life of someone I loved more than my own life, I completely did an absolute surrender to what he wanted every single day, all day long, because I was fighting like there was no tomorrow because of love. And you see, the love of God constrains you. And everything you do, you know why you're going through it? Because of love. Because you love your family. You love your son. You love your daughter. You love your wife. You love your husband. You love someone at work. And in a godly way, you love yourself. And you know why? Because God loved you first and he sent his son for you. And Jesus Christ is not just your savior for a one-time thing. Like, yes, he's my savior. I got saved. He's always your savior. He never stops being your savior. I've talked to so many people who thought it was over for them. And I'm one of them. But Jesus tasted death for me. And in those absolute abandoned years of my life, having no love around me, I was never alone. And you are never alone. Do you want Jesus to change your life? This is not a sales gimmick. I'm not an entertainer. This is not about, you know, anything but the truth. Because I fear the Lord and I love him. I want to tell you another little story that moved me so much. It was a little vague story, and it was during the war, and there was a prince from Germany, and he was with a group of his men, and they were flying from Moscow to another area in Europe. Whoever wrote the story didn't give specifics of what year, what nation, the name of this person or that. And I'm glad, because I just want to hear the story. And so the story went like this. So this prince was with his men that were warriors. They were fighting men. And they knew that this prince was a good man and had chosen to go with these men in a particular war. And it was winter time. And the men knew that that prince was not used to roughing it like them. And when they got to the place where they landed, it was thick with snow. And they found a place where they would lay down for the night. They had no covering. They just had their coats. And they lay down. They knew that the prince was not used to it, but he was a good man and lay down and started to fall asleep. And when those men knew that the prince had fallen asleep, every one of those men rose up, took off their coats, and they placed it on that man, the prince. When the morning came, the prince woke up and he was warm. And he had slept through the night. But when he stood up and he looked around, he saw all the places where the men were laying, and they were covered with snow. And every one of them died in the night so that that prince would live, because they loved him. That's a true story. What manner of love that the Father hath unto us, that we would be called the children of God. And this is the kind of love which is not earthly, but it's God himself. God is love. And he will save you, and he will rescue you, just as he said he would. Choose this day, or choose soon, to believe or to grieve. Because when you choose to believe, it's choosing a side and a position of faithfulness to a God whose name is faithful. And he will do something. You watch and see, not because I said it, but because he said he would. I pray that the Lord blesses you and that you will soon see the glory of the Lord risen upon you and be free. Shalom to you.